I ask if you would be patient and bear with me a little bit today. At times, it will sound philosophical, abstract, and hard to understand. But if you would allow me to delve into the richness of what it means to be happy, because it relates to what a lot of our society is trying to seek, and what the good Lord today in His gospel is trying to teach each and every one of us. We all want to be happy. Euphoria is the excited state of joy or the intense feeling of happiness. And the opposite of euphoria is dysphoria, a state of feeling very unhappy, uneasy, or dissatisfied. We see these two terms being used with the gender identity and with a lot of hedonistic base reality as well. But yet, we forget to understand, my brothers and sisters, that euphoria is short-lived because it's an excited state or intense feeling, and all feelings come and go, and even excitement will die out. Therefore, to seek euphoria is to come to realize deep from within there's going to be a state of dysphoria. We cannot always feel excited or intensely happy all the time. Life will always have its ups and downs. And we want to somehow always feel happy, feel affirmed, or somehow feel like we have to have it all. We're chasing after vanity. We're chasing after our own pride. And we're chasing after the things that really do not exist. And therefore, we will always end up being resentful, angry, unhappy deep from within. As a matter of fact, Aristotle in his teaching gave us four levels of happiness. The first and basic level is what he called latus. It's pleasure-based, it's immediate gratification, it's happiness from material objects. It's what we're all attracted to. That's our basic level of happiness, latus. And the second level is called felix, right? It's an egocentric desire that make us compare ourselves with other people and make ourselves feel good with personal achievement. It's an egocentric gratification. What can I do to make myself happy? And that's where I believe euphoria and dysphoria comes into play. It's what we think going to make us happy, because we treat ourselves at the center of the universe. We treat ourselves as the standard of judgment and the criterion of truth. Everyone else exists in order to make me happy, including God Himself. We're chasing after euphoria or this sense of felix that will always come and go. But yet, that's not the end. It's not we're not called to chase after latus, which is pleasure-based, or felix, or euphoria, which is egocentric-based. But to go deeper a little bit, the third level, beatitudo, which is a contributive happiness from doing good for others and something greater than ourselves. This is the word that we ultimately in English have the word beatitude. What does it mean to be blessed? By blessing ourselves, by blessing others in the gift of ourselves. Beatitude, though, is a happiness that comes from contributing, giving ourselves, sacrificial way of giving ourselves for the greater good, for the good of others. But that's not still the end. That's only the third level. The ultimate level, what Aristotle say would be called sublime beatitudo, or the ultimate transcendental and perfect happiness that comes from good itself. In Latin, we would call it sunum bonum, the ultimate good. And this is where Christianity, all religion trying to get us to understand, the greatest good is God Himself. Our good, our happiness, is not something that is pleasure-based, that is not egocentric-based, nor is about doing good to somehow win the praise of others, but to pursue the ultimate, the transcendental, and perfect happiness that comes from God Himself. The contentment from being good, seeking the truth, and allowing the truth to set us free. This is what St. Paul teaches us when he calls us to be free in Christ Jesus. To be free through the power and working of the Holy Spirit, so that we're not being enslaved by this world, by sin, by the lies, or by the fleeting things. Oftentimes, we chase after euphoria, we chase after pleasure, we chase after our ego, and we always make ourselves in the state of feeling unhappy, uneasy, or dissatisfied. Nothing really can fill us unless we know who we are deep from within. Our mission, our purpose, our self-worth, our identity that is found in Christ Jesus. And that's why the collect for today is so beautiful. It begins, and I quote, "O God, who show the light of your truth to those who go astray, so that they may return to the right path. Give all who for the faith they profess are accounted Christians the grace to reject whatever is contrary to the name of Christ and to strive after all that does it honor." Think about it. God showing us the light of truth so that we who go astray, or those who go astray, have the humility to return to the right path. So we who call ourselves as Christians have that humility and that grace to reject whatever is contrary to Christ, to the truth, and strive to grow, to mature, to deepen ourselves, so that we bear the name of Christ in honor, in love, in sacrifice, in honesty, and in truth. My brothers and sisters, my question for you is, will you and I allow the grace of God to change us deep from within? Or do we chase after pleasure, serve ourselves, or do something just to make ourselves feel good? Do we seek the sunum bonum, the ultimate good that comes from God? Do we yearn for the things of heaven, the things that are transcendental, the things that give us life? Or do we chase after vanities, after pride, after the things that will always make us dysphoric, unhappy, uneasy, dissatisfied? The grace of God is like rain that being said in the first reading from the prophet Isaiah, rain that comes down and watered the earth, watered our soil, watered our soul. But it's important that we work on the soil of our souls so that His grace, the rain, come and soak deep from within. How we grow going to depend on how we humbly conform ourselves to Christ. My brothers and sisters, this is not easy. It takes a lot of humility to die to ourselves, so that Christ live in us and through us. I'll end my homily today by sharing with you the one lesson that I had to learn as a priest. When I was newly ordained, even though I heard being taught in the seminary to pace myself, to make sure that I don't burn out, or to pray well. My first year, I learned a lot, but at the end of the day, I was trying too hard to somehow prove myself to other people that I'm not just a baby priest. I hated that term when people called me a baby priest. Huh? But then when I came to prayer, I pray about it. And God used so many people, so many situations to teach me humility, to brought me out of my own comfort zone so that I can grow and to become His priest, not a priest that I want to be. It's not about making myself feel good or making myself better than others or to serve myself, but that I am a priest in persona Christi Capitis, in the person of Christ the head, to be a good shepherd for His people. And then to lead people to Him and not to me. And what He did to make me grow in that way was that He sent me to a Spanish-speaking parish. Immaculate Conception in Denton had a big, big Spanish-speaking community. And I resented learning Spanish a lot in the seminary, especially as an ESL speaker. English is my second language. I still struggle with English. And when the seminary tells us that we have to learn Spanish to serve others, I was very resentful of it. I didn't open myself to it. I went through the motion. I didn't allow the grace of God to change me deep from within. I resented. I avoided. I did the bare minimum. I didn't grow. I was stagnant. And as a matter of fact, I was resisting against that. But when I came to Immaculate Conception, I realized how many people really needed my help. They called me Father. They are now my spiritual children. Who care if some English-speaking people call me a baby priest? My Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters called me Padre, Father. And if I am going to be a father to them, I need to learn Spanish. And so I pushed myself to learn Spanish a lot, through watching all those telenovelas, as well as the Dora the Explorer and all these children's shows in Spanish, to push myself to learn, because they're no longer a burden to me. They are my people. They are my children, and they called me Father. God had sown His truth upon us, and He rained down His grace upon us. But it's important for us to tilt our soil, our soul, to prepare to receive His grace. So go back to what St. Paul have said in the second reading, that we all yearn and await the revelation of God, the redemption of our body, for God's grace to be at work. Be humble, be true, be real, not be held down by false sense of happiness, but to seek the ultimate good. Let us end again with the words of the Collect. O God, who show the light of Your truth to those who go astray, so that they may return to the right path, give all who for the faith they profess are accounted Christians the grace to reject whatever contrary to the name of Christ, and to strive after all that does it honor. Amen.